With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to the program, The Bill Michaels Show. We continue on. We are glad you are with us. Our friends at Epoxy Flooring Done Right bring you this particular portion of the program. Go to epoxyflooringdoneright.com. That's epoxyflooringdoneright.com to get to the color, the coating, the finish, everything you need, whether you're a homeowner, a business owner, maybe an industrial owner. They can take care of you. Again, go to epoxyflooringdoneright.com. That is epoxyflooringdoneright.com. Joining us now, our good buddy Mike Clemens is here and getting us ready for Packers padded practice coming up this weekend, as a fact. But, Michael, look, you know, so far so good. The tests have been very minimal and negative, and so hopefully they're able to get this thing going once they start actually hitting each other.
Yeah, Bill, one of the things I think is found interesting is we're trying to find out now when guys like Mason Crosby and Jay Sternberger, who tested positive or either came in contact with someone with COVID, were not allowed into camp. And, you know, they don't divulge what that information is. You have to get that from the player directly as to what the situation is. Did they have symptoms, et cetera? Well, now the question is, when do you get these guys off the list? And I'm not sure. It's kind of hard to determine that. You know, the NFL guidelines for COVID, a couple hundred pages long, but I think at the end of the day, you got to get a phone call from Dr. Fauci or Dr. Burt from the White House to let these guys back in. It's a pretty complex process. We're trying to learn about when can these guys come off the list and get back on the team. So one of the things that we also wanted to talk about was about that practice schedule. The Packers are being a little guarded about what's going on the inside. I think part of it is because they don't want to go through public criticism that they didn't do enough or the right things regarding COVID. The rest of it is just good old-fashioned, you know, NFL football. And it's, you know, us to know and you to find out. A couple of players that we talked about, though, that they were pretty gassed. And so I thought, oh, okay, so they're going past the classroom. And then, you know, past the weight room, so they must be going over to the Hudson Center or over to the practice field where the tarp is up and maybe running some gassers, running some like combine drills. So I asked Matt LaFleur directly about this. You know, why did he put off that first practice until Saturday when the NFL allows him to start this Wednesday? And what's going on with the sessions right now?
Yeah, Mike. They're doing a lot of different activities, from conditioning to, you know, implementing some of the change of direction drills, some of those combine type drills. But the reason we're starting on Saturday is we gave them an extra day off after these next 3 days. So we didn't necessarily have to do that, but I just thought, you know, you have 3 days of strength and conditioning, then you get into some of the phase two type work where the coaches can be on the field, and then an actual practice. I thought 6 days in a row was just too much at this stage. Really, when you look at it through the course of a year, you never go six days straight. So just thought it might be a little bit better to chop it up into, you know, a block of three, give them a day off, then do another block of three and give them another day off before we hit, you know, get closer to putting the pads on.
So, Mike, how often are they testing for the COVID virus? Do you know?
They were testing every day. Now, if they're testing every other day, the thing about this is that, you know, I'm trying to move on and make this football, but the COVID guidelines are with these guys all day long. And the players, you know, have to adapt to this different culture where you're wearing a bandana, a face mask, a gaiter, you know, G-A-I-T-E-R. The NFL selling those things now with team logos on them, that scarf that kind of goes around the back of the neck and across the nose and the mouth. And so there's so much that's going into that, just making sure you're safe. Because they see the headlines. They see that the Cardinals, you know, have two guys that test positive after playing the Twins, come to Milwaukee, stay at the Pfister. Next thing, it's four guys. Next thing, you're up to seven players and six staffers of the Cardinals, and they're, you know, canceling another series against an opponent in baseball. So one question that LaFleur was asked, I thought was pretty good about, so with that COVID testing, you know, imagine if you work in a warehouse, you probably have to show up to work a little earlier to have your go through the testing and the questionnaires and those kind of things before you can report to your station. How much is this COVID testing affecting the team's daily schedule in camp?
Yeah, we're still kind of working through that stuff, but for the most part, it has presented some challenges in terms of we don't want to delay the day too long. And ideally, in a perfect world, and this is kind of what we're going through right now, and we'll get a better indication once we get into our practices, but we're going to try to have the guys come in a little bit earlier, get the testing out of the way, and then practice roughly about the same time we did last year. I think the majority of our practices were right at 10:15. We've actually tried to bump it up 5 minutes and allow for some more meeting time and whatnot, but certainly it has presented some scheduling challenges, but that's something that we're working through. We're working around. We feel confident that we're going to give these guys enough time to get that in because it is an important part of this process. We need our guys to make sure that nobody's infected with the COVID. And, you know, I think that we're headed in the right direction as far as implementing some of these night practices. That is definitely something that we're looking at, especially when you look at weeks 3 and 4. I know we're going to have a night game. So somewhere along the line throughout camp, we're going to try to implement a night practice.
Mike, I'm for one, I'm somebody that's really anxious to see how this offense is going to unfold year two in the Matt LaFleur offense, year two with Aaron Rodgers running it. I'm just anxious to see what else is going to happen.
And I think most fans would agree, you know, Aaron Rodgers, smart quarterback, can read any defense that's ever thrown at him, makes changes at the lines, you know, usually pretty good. Guy who protects the football, his numbers are legendary as to how many completions he's got, how many attempts he's got, and how few of interceptions he throws. But I also think that if you look at some of the games a second or third time, you see guys open over the middle. And you say, well, is that some player he doesn't trust? Is there something he sees that we don't see? Or did he just flat miss that guy? And so Matt LaFleur was asked directly, you know, there seems to be a tendency where Rodgers is so protective of the football, he just doesn't want to throw it over the hash marks. Unless some guy is wide open, or it's, you know, it was Jimmy Graham last year with his paw up in the air over everybody else. Do you get the sense that Aaron avoids throwing over the middle, and would Matt LaFleur like to see him attack the middle more often?
Well, I'd like him to attack wherever the play is designed to attack and read it the right way.
So is that something you would like to do a little bit more of in your playbook?
Yeah, you know, I think that's, you know, we're kind of working through all that right now. And ultimately, at the end of the day, you always want your quarterback to feel confident and comfortable with what we're asking him to do. I think every game plan's a little bit different. But certainly I was pretty excited. I can think of one play in particular where he hit Devontae on an in-breaker versus Chicago off a play action pass that went for like, I don't know, 35, 40 yards. I thought that was a great moment for us as an offense, for Aaron individually. And we're going to continue to work on all those types of things.
Let's do this. We'll go ahead and take a quick break as we're here at the bottom of the hour. Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Hang in there. We got more with Mike, more from Green Bay, coming up next in the Bill Michaels Show.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Hi, Zadarius.
They can hear me?
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, how's it going?
Zadarius.
Good, Z. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I was just wondering, what did it mean to you to be voted a captain by your teammates last year? And I know that it's not necessarily up to you, but would you like to continue wearing that C on your chest?
What type of question is that?
What type of question is that? There you go. Zadarius Smith, and we're going to hear more from him coming up here momentarily. This portion of the program brought to you by our good friends over there at the Biofuels Association. Visit abetterfuel.org, and covering a lot of ground. I'm going to be traveling again this week. And if you get a chance, as you drive through all the cornfields that are Wisconsin and beyond the borders, the corn is huge right now. And in August, the corn is all grown up, getting ready to become fuel for your car. A good portion of corn grown right here in the upper Midwest, specifically grown for ethanol as a motor fuel. And I've been telling you about the 20-year-old myths right now, right? And all of those old myths and all those old facts and such. You check it out for yourself. Go to abetterfuel.org. That's abetterfuel.org. Wisconsin farmers, manufacturers still hurting, and the survey shows that everybody that's very aware of COVID, you're also very aware that you want to buy local. And unleaded 88 and E85 are exactly that. They are fuels for your car. They are produced by farmers and manufacturing workers right here in our own backyard. It's an easy decision. And if your car is less than 18 years of age, it can almost certainly run on unleaded 88. And if it has E85 badging or the green flex fuel badging on the back or on the gas cap, you can run E85. Go to abetterfuel.org for all the information. That's abetterfuel.org for all the information that's out there. Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And Zadarius calling out the report. What kind of question is that? Of course I want to be a captain.
What kind of question is that? And so Zadarius also going to have to deal with questions about the run game. The defense will, because of what happened in the NFC Championship game against the 49ers. Packers defense, run defense, did a good job against a good running back against the Broncos and against the Panthers at home in the slop. Yesterday, I was watching the 49ers against the Ravens, like week 13. It starts to rain in Baltimore, and this is a ground attack game, you know, and you got Lamar Jackson making big gains as well. I just, you know, the running game seems to be making a comeback in the NFL. And so what have the Packers done? They did not re-sign Blake Martinez. He got a big contract with the Giants. They bring in Christian Kirksey from the Browns. And then it's the rest of the other suspects in the middle of that defense at inside linebacker with Oren Burks. Curtis Bolton, a kid who looked good in camp last year but had torn ACL. We just got off a teleconference with Brian Gutekunst that says they hope to have him available, that he impressed them. Ty Summers, the rookie that you interviewed that plays some special teams, impressed them, yes. So maybe they think that he can step up. But really, you know, are they ready to replay that NFC Championship game? Dean Lowry and Tyler Lancaster on the defensive line let them down. They hope that Kingsley Keke, second-year man, can help, you know, back up Kenny Clark and the rest of those guys in the defensive line. So you talk to Zadarius about, you know, you go into that buzzsaw in the NFC Championship game, and for a second time, and you know, the 49ers, Kyle Shanahan told us this at the Super Bowl, Bill. He said, we could see the opportunities on the edge of Green Bay. They got these great pass rushers, but if you can spread out their defense and, you know, make it look like a pass and keep on attacking them on the edge, on the off-tackle plays, they were unable to stop it. And so we talked to Smith, to Zadarius, about not being able to stop Raheem Mostert, who had 220 yards and four touchdowns in the NFC Championship game.
It was hard, you know, coming out the last game, because in that championship game, they basically beat us. You know, they got on our edges. And like I told you before I left, that's something that we need to work on. Basically, me, Preston, and everybody in the outside linebacker room. setting better edges. So for myself, I know I took that into the offseason and been working on that each and every day to get better at it.
There's a lot of things they need to get better at, Mike, and I know you had us listen to Zadarius a little bit earlier, but one of the concentration this year, I'm sure, is going to be trying to capitalize on turnovers as well.
Yeah, you know, what would you would get this great pass rush, and you'd have three or four guys with like a dozen sacks with this Mike Pettine defense, and I also created, you know, some interceptions for the guys on the back end. But one thing that, you did notice as the season went on is that Zadarius Smith, Preston Smith, one, maybe two forced fumbles. They get to the quarterback, but they're not getting the ball out of their hand. Now, Mike Smith is the outside linebacker's coach, a guy who I think could be a defensive coordinator someday in this league. Time with the Jets, time with the Ravens as a player himself, and then as an assistant, and work with Mike Pettine at the Jets. And so Zadarius was asked if Mike Smith, the linebacker coach, has talked to them about creating more forced fumbles this coming season.
Man, it's crazy you say that, man, because Coach was just harping on – he was just harping on that yesterday. Like, we had so many attempts, but we didn't get a chance to get the ball out. So he was saying this year, man, I can see it. Coach Mike Smith, he said, I can see it this year coming to where we're going to have a ton of sack fumbles and forced fumbles. So I can't wait, man, because Coach speaking it to existence, and we're going to work each and every day at practice, man, to get it done. Well, we can't work at practice to get it done, but we're going to work throughout drills to get it done.
It was interesting, Mike, because he really – that loss to the 49ers really sat with him. When he sat there right in front of us at Super Bowl – when we were down Super Bowl on Radio Row, and even that night that you and I and everybody went out, that loss really sat with him.
Right. And he knows how – because he was there in Miami, and he realized how close they could have been, you know, and try and take on a game like the Chiefs. And you know, how much is it going to take to get back to that? But one thing that – the Packers defense has in their pockets is it is really a together group. And that's something, you know, you can coach guys, you can bring in good players, but the third level of winning is when the players are working on their own, working for themselves, and they're playing for each other. And so, you know, that's what changed that locker room when Zadarius Smith came in and Preston as well. As a matter of fact, Preston Smith, you know, the left outside linebacker, is from the Atlanta area, and you know, they talk about, they think they've got a core to get on to the next year. Tremont Williams won't be back, but they think guys like, you know, third-year guys like Jair Alexander and Kevin King on the corners. These guys are really impressed with what Darnell Savage did on the back end at safety for in his rookie season. Adrian Amos, who comes in. And now they bring in Christian Kirksey, who, you know, by all indications, a good vocal guy. That they think they've got a core they can put together. So one key thing is when you talk to Preston Smith is how many guys came to see him, teammates, after that NFC loss, including Zadarius, at his house in Atlanta.
We always talked and kept in contact, especially like before all this. If Z was in Atlanta, he'll hit me up. That's where I'm from. If he ever came near me and, like, you know, we'll hang out or we'll talk and see if we was, you know, if our schedules can make it to where we can meet up and have and eat or something, go out to eat, have some drinks or whatever, and just hang out. We talked a lot on the phone about, you know, the upcoming season and things we can improve on and just being excited for what we have to come. We got a lot of guys returning, a lot of key weapons that, you know, helped in our success last year. We got a lot of young guys coming up with bigger roles this year. You know, Darnell Savage, Rashawn Gary. You know, Ja, he's only on his third year, and he's one of the best corners in this league in my eyes. And I just know, you know, we got a lot of talent that can help us and a lot of guys that did a lot of good things last year that can, you know, help us be successful this year. You know, I talked to Z a lot this offseason about, you know, how we feel like going into this season. And I talked to a lot of guys, you know, this year Kevin King was in Georgia, and we hung out. Jair came to Georgia, we hung out. Anybody who came to Georgia, we know we pretty much hung out. Elton Jenkins, offensive lineman, we hung out. Even though we went to the same college, so we always knew each other. But, you know, this defense always, these guys just seem like they welcome us, like we've been here for a while. Not just only me and Z and us getting so comfortable with each other. The rest of the defense, it's like we came in and welcomed us with open arms. They welcomed our leadership, and they were just ready to get better. And then we all had the same common goal, so it made it easier for us to come in and, you know, be successful as a defense and as a team.
Mike, how much does Rashawn Gary figure into this?
Well, that's, you know, that's the wild card in this equation. A first-round draft pick last year, maybe only 30% of the snaps. You've got these 4 or 5 year veterans like Zadarius and Preston out there, 800, 900 snaps in the season. you can't do that. You're going to burn those guys out. And now is the time for this guy to step up. Rashawn Gary out of Michigan as an outside linebacker. Maybe he can stunt, you know, off the line for Pettine as well. And, you know, Pettine ran an awful lot of dime last year, which made it pretty tough when it came for Blake Martinez as the sole guy to try and chase down a running back if he's coming out. But you talked to Preston about how much did outside linebacker Rashawn Gary contribute in his rookie year last year?
I mean, Rashawn's a guy that, you know, he learned a lot last year, and he improved on a lot going into the season and seeing him work now and seeing his offseason work. He always had a lot of athletic, tons of athletic ability that could have been, you know, could have helped us a lot last year. But him learning the system and getting comfortable and finding out what he's good at in this league, you know, coming from college and being a first-year player and learning behind me and Z, he learned a lot. He has a lot of athletic ability. He can always be plugged in anywhere and play a lot of multiple positions just like me and Z. And he can be a good attribute. He can be a good addition to, you know, the defense this year, and he can bring a lot to the table to help the defense out a lot.
Let's do this. We'll go ahead and take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll wrap it up. Mike Clemens joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. We'll talk more about this Packers training camp coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Devontae Adams, bottom of your screen. He's been big in this half, lined up against Melvin this time. Rodgers. Pressure going deep down the middle. It's caught for the touchdown! Allen Lazard!
His willingness to do whatever it takes, whether it's in the pass game going to catch a route or being a decoy or in the run game, he dominated his opponents. And I think the opposition sees that, and they know that they better put in their mouth guard and buckle up their chin strap every time he's out on the field.
Welcome back to the program. The Bill Michaels Show continues on. And don't forget our friends over there at Quick Trip. You buy yourself a pothole pizza. Also, you put it together with a Coke. And it's not a bad way to go because you use your Quick Rewards card. You're automatically entered for the Packers opening drive contest. You could even win a brand new Chevy. So go see the store for all the details. And don't forget, when it comes to Quick Trip and Tobacco Outlet Plus Grocery, our cigar dinner coming up this Thursday night. We're going to be in the Chippewa Valley in Chippewa Falls at Loopy's High Shore Supper Club. Just a few tickets remain for that as well. So go to TobaccoOutletPlusGrocery.com now and get your tickets. That's TobaccoOutletPlusGrocery.com. Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, our good buddy Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio giving us a Packers training camp update. And so, look, Allen Lazard, you know, they keep saying, well, buckle up your chin strap. How good is he, Mike?
You know, he had some stats last year. I mean, he made it, took advantage of every opportunity he had when he was out there on the field. You know, he came off the practice squad, had a couple of big games against the Lions. There was one stat that I saw where in passer rating when targeted, in success rate, in yards per attempt, according to Sharp Football Stats, he's like one of the top 10 or 15 last year. I mean, right along other guys that were around in the league, like Michael Gallup, Emmanuel Sanders, Keenan Allen, Deebo Samuel from the 49ers, the guy was really productive. And so his story is undrafted player, Jacksonville Jaguars, waived, picked up in December of 2018 by the Packers and on the practice squad. Then, last year at this time, we're in camp, and, you know, is Jamon Moore ever going to make it? Hey, Equanimeous St. Brown is looking pretty good. Marquez Valdez-Scantling looks like he'll be the number two because of that great speed and the height. There's still Jake Kumerow and Darius Shepherd, who they've also brought back again this year. He's now wearing number 9 because Jordan Love got his number 10 jersey. And we were standing there at Aaron's locker, and he said, don't forget number 13. Oh, okay. Yeah, this 6'3" guy over there who's, you know, kind of smart kid talking to him. And so Roger started paying attention to him. So we asked Allen, you know, Aaron tipped us off during camp that he was a guy to look for. When did Rodgers first approach you and say, hey, kid, I think you got something?
Yeah, so Aaron had actually kind of been in my ear going back to like April, May when we were doing our offseason training. He kind of was always, you know, just giving me a few tips here and there, always kind of encouraging me, said he really, really appreciated and liked my game a lot. So just hearing that, you know, given that time period and everything was huge for a boost of confidence and just a confirmation from your peers, especially someone of of his status. So as the year went on and kind of just developing that relationship and, you know, just constantly getting that nod and that sign of, you know, good progression from him, only just instilled more and more confidence in myself.
I'm glad he feels good about where he's at. The biggest thing for Alan Lazard is he's got to perform. I mean, they need somebody else to step up as that number two wide receiver.
And he did, you know. I mean, the Packers' offense looked the best, actually, with those 4 weeks when Devontae was out with the turf toe, remember? And, you know, that's where Lazard had a chance to shine. Now, of course, everybody, you know, every NFL analyst that says when you talk about the Green Bay Packers, they need help at wide receiver. They're going to draft a receiver in this receiver-thick NFL draft, or they'll be active in free agency. They get Devin Funchess from Panthers and Colts. Then he opts out on them because of family issues. So Alan was asked, you've heard all that talk in the offseason that you guys need help at wide receiver. What was the reaction with you and Devontae Adams and the rest of the receivers to your NFL analyst saying that the Packers must add at wide receiver?
I mean, honestly, we just kind of laugh at it just because it kind of shows the little acknowledgement of, you know, what value we actually bring to the room and to the team. Because we know that our job is very complicated. It's very hard, and not too many people can do it. So to hear all the talk about, you know, if they went and got this guy, they would just fit in. And then I don't think they realize how difficult it is to do our position. Offensive, you know, blocking and the pass game as well. So we're very confident in ourselves. You know, a lot of us are returning. We've been in the system for two years, if not, you know, been here at the organization for more, playing with these players. And so I think it's more so just building this charisma and understanding and trusting each other out there on Sundays.
Mike, it's just another example of one of these undrafted guys that makes a name for themselves. It's kind of like you hope they're able to kind of recognize all these players in training camp because they're not going to get a chance to see them in preseason. So guys like Sam Shields, guys like Tremont Williams, who've had a really solid career, you got to be able to recognize that talent that you have in camp. Otherwise, just because they're drafted, they may make the team over guys who aren't, and you may lose a couple of these quality players.
Right, and then here's another thing. Maybe there's a team that is deep at wide receiver that the Packers might be interested in if he gets cut, and they would bring him in for competition. But we just talked to Gutekunst, who said you cannot bring in guys right now for workouts. When teams are bringing in a free agent like that, a guy in waivers, you're bringing him in to sign him. You can't bring him in for a workout. But you talked to Alan Lazard, another undrafted guy like you say there, and you know, gee, what do you think about some of these, you know, low draft pick rookies or these undrafted players? And there's no preseason games. You only got about 3 weeks of practice. Maybe you'll have a little bit of contact. How lucky is he that he was able to make the roster last year and not this summer?
You know, I think when it comes to that, I don't think you're wrong by saying that there's a lot of talent that's out there that, you know, maybe the system that they're in, the organization isn't the best for them. The position that they're playing, you know, it's all about opportunity and timing, and you really can't control those two things. And so for me as a person, you know, I've never really tried to sweat too much about the things that I couldn't control. You know, I prepared every single week going up into, you know, week six, like a starter. You know, I made sure I had my plays down. I didn't want to go out there and be put in a position where I was playing and the team was counting on me and I was able to let them down. So for me, it was just all about preparing and kind of always having that mindset of that I could go out there whenever my time was going to get called on and to be able to make a big play. And I think, you know, you look at that Lions game and, you know, everyone sees the big catch and everything, but they also forget about the play before that. I had a drop pass. So it's all about, you know, kind of keeping that positive mindset, always believing in yourself and never shying away from the moment.
Good stuff as always, Mike. Appreciate it. We're going to talk later on in the week as well, but it should be interesting as we start heading towards Packers padded practices and training camp, and hopefully we have an NFL season that's able to be played. You know what I mean?
Yeah, first one coming up this Saturday, Bill. Thanks.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon. There you go. Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 85-plus years they've been doing it. Call them, 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com. Coming up tomorrow on the program, before we get out of here, you got to the Bucks and the Raptors coming up tonight. The Bucks, I'm looking for them to look a lot better defensively and keep the turnovers to a minimum. The Brewers and the Twins open up their three-game series. Adam McAlvey is going to be here tomorrow. Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press-Gazette can talk some Packers training camp with us, talk with one of our radio.com NBA insiders as well. So we got a lot coming up tomorrow on the program. I'm hoping to hear more tomorrow as well, maybe either before or during the show, regarding the Big Ten season as to whether or not we will have football this fall. But that's going to do it for us for today, and we will back at it. We'll be back at it again tomorrow. Time for us to go. Have a going. See you.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.